We're on the air.
We're on the air.
Hey there, sports fans. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode 330, the morning after the Toronto Maple Leafs smoked the Lightning on 420. And I knew you'd get that one. Lit those motherfuckers up like a big fat hoodie and tied the series up for 1-1 going to Florida. Yee-hoo! We'll get the delicious details of their devastation of Tampa and what we might expect in Game 3 tomorrow. I'll tell you what we can expect. The entire Toronto media contingent, save for four people, are going to be watching the game from Toronto. Not allowed to go to Florida. Okay. Everyone going to Florida on the media bus, line up to the right. Not so fast, Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph, your producer, everybody from the Toronto Sun, Post Media. Sorry, not going. You guys from the Star, you can go. 57,000 people from Sportsnet? Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Anyway, that's tomorrow, Game 3, Leafs in Tampa. I don't know what your plans are, but for me, it's going to be, I'll be watching that and barbecuing at the same time. Because the sun will be still up, right? 7 o'clock, sun's up. You're still got another hour or more of sun. Also, the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Boy, lots so much going on. Only two teams are up 2-0 in their series, which means the rest must be tied 1-1, eh, Hebsy? The great Boston Bruins gave up 6 goals at home. Maybe they're not so great after all. I'm sure the guys who were on the Canadiens of the 70s are going, they weren't so great. 6 goals. We never gave up 6 goals at home in a playoff. Never. Then there's the exciting NBA playoffs where the Philadelphia 76ers have gone 3 up on Brooklyn. What did Masai Ujiri once say about Brooklyn, Mike?
Fuck Brooklyn.
That's what he said. Looks like that's exactly what Philadelphia is doing to them. They're, bend over, Brooklyn. That's right. The Blue Jays had a day off in New York after gagging on the Houston Astros the night before. We'll set up their series in the Bronx and talk about that ridiculous tweet by Anthony Bass,
right?
Who may end up being the most hated Blue Jay, the most despised Blue Jay since Roberto Osuna. I mean, what the hell? Bring up Nate Pearson and send this guy down. Max Scherzer gets a 10-game suspension for cheating, and he doesn't even play for the Houston Astros. By the way, should the Blue Jays call up Nate Pearson? I mean, he's dominating in AAA, or so they say. A deeper dive into this guy that just everyone's just so excited. Oh, and Nate Pearson's going to come along, and he's just going to dominate the bullpen. Come on. Guy's almost 27 years old. Hasn't done fuck all. And why do people from BC hate people from Toronto so much, especially those in the media? Is it because of the Leafs? Is it because Toronto is the center of the universe? They can't even take a compliment about the Vancouver Canucks announcers that I put out on Twitter. Without turning it into one of those, fuck you, you Toronto asshole. You're from Toronto, you must be an asshole. I hate that. Let's say hi to Vancouver Mike, who's joining us today from... Got to be careful.
It's a great place.
Can't offend people with that name. Mike, that's an offensive name to some people.
That's a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Vancouver.
Boy, first of all, number one, I've been tweeting for a number of years. I'm not looking for a million, that's the best tweet ever. I tweet, it's stream of consciousness, basically. But I have never gotten so many likes, first of all, for the tweet, and comments from people, negative comments, how dare you tell us that we don't fucking know about we know how good our announcers are here, you fucking Toronto piece of shit.
But let me ask you this, Hebsy.
Whoa, what the heck?
If you were born and raised in Vancouver and you were Vancouver Hebsy, okay, and you decided to stay in Vancouver because you love the mountains and the ocean, you said, I can't find that in Toronto, I'm staying here. Wouldn't you hate Toronto?
Why?
But don't you think you might? It's hard for us because you and I are born and raised in Toronto. So how do we transplant ourselves?
Hate's a pretty strong word, right?
But passionately root against the city, dislike the city.
No, I don't get it.
Well, we do have someone from Lethbridge on the line, so we'll find out what's going on.
I don't get it. But the thing is, why are you, you're from Toronto. immediately. Poison.
Yeah, I know.
Give me an equivalent.
They think
somewhere.
We're arrogant. I think.
What are you, give me an equivalent that much hatred. The fact you're from there, you just must be an asshole. Because everyone from Toronto is an asshole, right? Even the people who were from Ontario or from Toronto and live in Vancouver now, are
a lot of
that's
those
true.
People.
Toronto assholes are assholes. They're not friendly people in Toronto. They're assholes. And they took all those hockey games. They made us watch the Leafs all those years when we wanted to watch the Canucks. There's that shit too.
But also, Hebsy, when there's
I'm going to get to this later because
Because when Leafs are in Vancouver, Imagine how pissed off you'd be if the Canucks came to Toronto and like more than half the arena was wearing Canucks jerseys. Like, wouldn't that make, wouldn't you say like, fuck these guys? Like, this is our home. Like, there's a bit of that, but we'll get to this later. Okay.
Well, no, I mean, do we go and beat up somebody if they wear a Leaf jersey in Vancouver? Is that what Vancouverites do? Is that what they do?
Do
fuck
they?
You. Fuck and that. They start beating them up and kicking them. Get that jersey off. Is really? That hatred of a city. You're talking about a geographical area and all the human beings that live in that area. They must all be assholes because they're from Toronto.
Right. Now, because...
That's fucked, man. That's just fucked.
As your producer, Hebsy, you want to get into it, but you've been working blue today, so I've been told by the bosses here. I have to play this very quickly.
The following program contains adult themes, nudity, and coarse language. Viewer and parental discretion is advised.
Please continue.
Thank you, Mark Daly. The late great.
The late
great. Yeah. So anyway, by the way, that's Toronto Mike over there. If you didn't know, he's running things from the mothership in New Vancouver. Okay. I'm getting these and like, you know, they're in, it's in print. It's, you know, someone, whatever, you know, Big Jim 5271 is his handle, but it's like the vitriol is like, you know, we know how good we've got it in Vancouver. Fuck you, Toronto asshole. Whoa.
Yeah.
I've never met you before.
A lot of angry people out there, Hibbs.
He just commented on how great I thought John Shorthouse and John Cheech Garrett sounded doing the Boston Bruins Florida Panthers playoff game on Sportsnet. And I, boom, wow. Hammered here, left, right, and center.
A lot of anger.
Jeez. All right. Anyway. So the Leafs, Mike, the Leafs had to play their best game of the year last night. And guess what they did? Simple. You guys have to play your best game of the year. Okay, so we can erase the memories of game one. And they did. Beautiful. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And the Leafs played like a team that feared for their lives, that feared that had they lost that game and were to step out into the night after the game, that they would be mobbed by angry Leaf fans still hanging around, you know, at Maple Leaf Square or near the penalty box, enraged, you know, with AK-47s. Oh, maybe not that. But, you know, but angry. And they thought, we can't let this happen. We cannot cause widespread panic throughout Leaf Nation. We've got to win. And they did. Boom. I think, you know, 6 seconds into the game, right? Like face off, it's scores.
Yeah.
Power play, Leafs. And right there you went, oh, okay. All right. Okay. Phew. Like after that first goal in 40 seconds, I said, there's no way they're going to lose. There's no way they're going to lose this game. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Confidence, you know, Samsonov. Yeah, go ahead, shoot pucks at me, I'll stop him. Yeah, beautiful. And also the Leafs are like, wait a second, you know, they go into the corners, there's no headman. There's no headman.
Right.
Guy's 250 pounds and 6 foot seven. Like he's like a LeBron James on skates. I mean, he's a killer. He's not playing. He didn't play in the, okay, they lost with him, like not playing the last two periods in game one. And then they didn't have to worry about him or Chernak. So Bunting's three-game suspension was worth it. Like, think about it. It was worth it. He didn't mean to hurt him, but he didn't mean to not hurt him. You know what I'm saying? He didn't mean to get suspended, but hey, you want to play that kind of a game? We'll play that kind of a game. So Chernak gone, babe, yeah. And Hedman, who knows with him, you know? Like, you think John Cooper's going to come out and say, oh, by the way, Hedman, let me tell you, had a headache from 3 to 4:30. We gave him 2 Advil. Then his knee started to throb. We put ice on that. And then, you know, we're going to... No, we don't know what's wrong with him. He could have 2 broken ankles. I don't know. But, like, we're hoping, like, you know, game 3, Hedman's not going to play game 3. Leafs are going to take a 2-1 series lead tomorrow night because they got momentum now because they just beat them 7-2. They scored 10 goals on Vasilevsky. 10 goals on Vasilevsky. Sky's the limit. Seriously, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the season, Mike, this team can score, 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 score. If they win game 7-6, 7-5, so they still win. And that's what happened last night, 7-2. Come on. Game was over after 40 seconds. And then after 2 periods, it's 6-1. And Vasilevsky's like, oh, you're not taking me out. Oh, okay. Like even John Cooper admitted at the end of the game, did you think of taking him out? It was 6-1. Put Brian Elliott in there. Give Vasi a bit of a rest. Nope. No, I asked him and he said, no, I'm staying in. So he told me. So the goaltender told the coach he's not coming out.
He doesn't like coming out.
What is this? Alec Manoah's like, you know, you've given up 5. No, I don't care. I'm staying in.
He's your ride or die, right? If he doesn't want to come out, he can stay in.
Some managers like that in baseball. You know, a veteran player, go get the fuck off the field, says to the manager. I'm finishing. You know, Charlie Montoya. Oh, okay, Alex, you know, that kind of a thing, right? Yeah, and in this case, absolutely. John Cooper's like, all right, you know, Vazzy, we're gonna put Kid Els in there for, you know, he's like 40 years old. He's got some experience. You know, if he gives up a goal or two, no big deal. You need a bit of a rest because we need you in game three. And Vazzy looks at him and goes, fuck off, coach. They go back into the game. And he gives up another goal and 7-2. That always looks good on the resume, 7-2. How do you bounce back from a 7-2 loss? I don't know. Ask
he's not too worried about that resume.
7-3.
Yeah, right. You know what? I got to say.
How do you bounce back? Here's how you bounce back.
Tell me.
Get embarrassed. You get humiliated. You get stomped. You get smoked. Whatever it is. And then people go, oh, 7 goals. And then you and your teammates go, oh, we can't let this happen again. We can't. So I don't know. How's Boston going to respond after giving up 6 goals at home to Florida? 6 goals. Boston, the best team ever, ever.
The greatest team in the history of hockey.
All I know is this. We're tied 1-1 with this team, with Tampa. They don't have Hedman. They don't have the other guy, Chernak, you know. I think we bashed up a couple of other guys. I think Cirelli. I think, seriously, they're hurt. You know, they're the ones who are getting physical at the end of the game. You know, they're getting their doors blown and they're starting fights. They're doing shit like that with Corey Perry. I'm going to tell you something right now. These guys are worn down, Tampa. Let's stomp them right now. 6-1 after two periods. No, I'm going to stay in. I mean, even Sheldon Keefe. Oh, Sheldon Keefe got a coach. Hey, Sheldon Keefe was smart enough to go, okay, Sammy, we need you for the next game. Let's put some Joseph Wall in the third period. At least he did that, right? Team's getting blown
okay,
out.
Okay, you're not a good comparison, though, because Vasilevsky has delivered, right? He's won the cup multiple times, right?
Yeah, so, but what do you need him in the third period? You're down 6-1.
Yeah,
unless they really thought that they could come back from a 5-goal deficit to win.
No, but he doesn't like coming out of games, right? So he
nobody
wants to finish.
Nobody likes coming out of games. Tell you what, Mike. I'm going to do the podcast until 10, but you can leave at 9:45. We'll bring in somebody. No. What are you talking about? Like, but if you're having a freaking bad day and you're sick or something going on and like, you know, there's no chance that you're going to recover, you know, we'll take you out. We'll put the replacement in there. Even though you're going to go, no, I'm okay. You need the rest.
But if you saw my record, the games following these kinds of losses in playoffs, like, and you said, hey, this guy's earned the right. Like, this guy has earned it. He's showing, he's proven what he can do the game after a bad loss like this, right? He's going to be back in form for game three. But I have a question, Hebsy, on behalf of all Leaf fans. So we just happened to be recording on Friday morning, the night after that demolition. You know, lightning doesn't strike twice and all that. We killed the lightning last night. What if we were recording the day after Tuesday's game? Like, the tone would have been completely different. Have you ever seen a series? Like, we were all, like, on suicide watch, and then, like...
No.
Not you.
Some
not
people
you.
Were on suicide watch, but everybody knew it was a 7-game series. But of course, after the first game, you panic. Look, last year is the exact opposite. We won 5-0 in the first game. We were giddy.
Right.
Giddy.
Right.
We shut them out. Okay? We blanked those mothers. We were giddy for 2 days. Right? But that's human emotion. That's the way it is. That's the roller coaster ride of the playoffs. It's a beautiful thing. I love it.
So Leafs in five.
I remember when the Leafs got their asses kicked first two games against Detroit in 93.
Yep.
Detroit was the number one seed, and we were the number 8 seed in the East. That's the way, well, you know, they clobbered us. They killed us the first two games. No reason. There was no reason to think that the Leafs could come back from that. We just didn't have it. But two overtime goals, one in game 5 by Foligno in Detroit, one in game 7 by Borshevsky in Detroit, right?
Unbelievable.
You dug deep. You did what you had to do, right? You had the players. You know, you realized that, you know, it could be done. But after the first two games, after the first game, after the second game, especially, are you kidding me? They got stomped, both games, stomped. There you go. So you just never know, man. And like I said, you know, even though John Cooper says it's got nothing to do with injuries, oh, well, it wouldn't have made a difference if Hedman was in the game. Bullshit. Come on, if Hedman's healthy, give him the man dominates a game, okay? He takes the pressure off Sergachev and the other defensemen. Instead, they're playing with like 3 defensemen, 3 NHL defensemen, and 3 guys that they picked up from the local rinks. Like, you know, like the Zamboni driver, I think, is their 7th defenseman. Who the fuck are these guys? And they're getting 3 minutes of playing time.
So the Lightning are toast, Hebsy. They're done.
No, not at all. It's going to be a 7-game series, just like it was last year. The coin flip, Mike. Man, how close did the Leafs come to winning that series?
Close, very 85, close.
85 times. How right. many times?
Right.
Right?
We always have a chance to wrap
exactly
it up in six.
It's
going to
be exactly the same. It's going to be exactly the same way.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, I'm looking at this. It's a 1-1 series. We're tied. We got the split. Okay, phew, got that. You know, certainly not out of the woods. You know, we got to win one game in Tampa, all that stuff, right? Can't look too far ahead. But, of course, you can't, you know, immediately after game one, like you said, just everybody's like, oh, my God, Devontae, I think so horrible. And immediately right. it was, the pressure's on the Leafs. They have to win.
Right.
They must win this game. You don't think they knew that? Like, you don't think. Like, it was just funny to hear stuff like, you know, like, what was so-and-so thinking? You don't think he knew this? Like, you have to, some fan, some voice, somebody somewhere that's, you know, doesn't have the experience of either playing or covering or watching or whatever, some expertise, but no stats. Only no stats.
It's like, the first time ever a Leaf defenseman has got 4 assists in a playoff game. So, right. You know,
I'm right. like, that's got nothing to do with this, man. I don't care. It's great that Mitch Marner had 3 points or whatever. And but I remember him when he had a stretch of 18 consecutive games where he couldn't score a point in the playoffs, right? A couple right. of years ago, right?
Yeah.
So all this stuff is just mushy, mushy, folks. Get rid of all that stat bullshit. No one's going to care at the end of the series. No one's going to care that Mitch Marner is the first player in the history of the NHL playoffs to get a point on his team's first 4 goals of a playoff series. I heard that. When I heard Cuthbert spit that one out the other day. I went, what the heck?
It's spit worthy, like, though.
Like, let me think about this one again. Like, you know, somebody came up with, you know, no player has ever been part of the scoring on his team's first 4 goals of a playoff series.
Right.
Like, people are going to go, what? You mean Gretzky? like, who? You, like, really? Like, you know, and just some of that, again, like some of these random numbers, like no one's ever in the first 7 games, like, you know, give me a round number at least. Oh God. It's just like, I wish I had, is there any way you could filter something like that out? Like, please just, you know, only give me the relevant stats or a stat that has context. Like, here's the top, point getters, right? Now do me a favor, put that up against the top point getters of all time. Or the top point getters last year, or something with some context, instead of just throwing stuff against the wall and expecting me to go, oh, it's relevant. And the announcer doesn't have time to give you the context. Like, you know what I mean? Like, here's a stat. I'm throwing you a stat. Morgan Riley's the first defenseman from Vancouver to ever have 4 assists in a game where his team on a Tuesday night was the number 1 seed.
But, you
by
know,
the way, does anyone know who those people were that were down by the penalty box? The guy with the yellow hoodie and the lady, the plus sized lady in the Leaf jersey. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the yellow jersey guy. I think that was Canada Kev. I'm not sure, but
holy cow, hey, like people are going, oh my God, we've never seen this. This is Toronto. It's Toronto the good. Fans don't act like this in Toronto. Fans can hold their beer in Toronto. They would never. Oh, wait a minute. Well, that's right. There was that time in 2015 at the Dome when they were throwing things after the. Okay, never mind. So this idea that, oh, Toronto fans would never do that. Never do that. We're very, you know, we're fucking standoffish. Toronto people are pretty standoffish. Okay, Toronto's not. Everyone's like, Toronto people are so friendly in Canada. Yeah, in Canada, but in Toronto, they're not friendly down there. This is freaking war. God damn it! Give me a couple of beers. Because this is all we're seeing nowadays. Is there another place we can go to the game and drink?
It's true.
Like, I know.
Just numb yourself. This world is horrible.
What?
The world is a horrible place, and you should numb yourself with alcohol. Now, hold on. I'm going
to
just crack
one. The whole thing is based on the alcohol. Come on, let's go to the game. But you got to be drinking. Like, no way could you experience this by not drinking? Waving the white towels and cheering for the Leafs. Oh, there's got to be beers involved in this?
Well, baseball maybe. Hockey's enjoyable even sober.
It is, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, the assumption is this, that these people down by the penalty box, they got to be piss drunk, right? You see pictures. Everybody down by the rail has those wine glasses. You know, the nice, you know, glasses, right?
Right.
You can tell, right? You know, okay, that's from the lounge or whatever. You're in the private box or whatever room it is, and you're sitting rails and you're sitting by there and you're you know, there were two people right behind John Cooper. All they did was looked at their, like every time they had a shot of them, they were just looking at their devices.
Yeah.
There's wild stuff going on the ice. People are fighting. People are getting kicked out. And these, they kept cutting back to John Cooper. And the two people behind him are just like looking at their devices. Anyway. Yeah. Very exciting. Quite the atmosphere down there. And yeah, it had to be the booze, right? Sober people would never act this way. Why not?
I love this city.
Have to be drunk to be like that?
Hebsy, I love the fact that the mood of this city changes. Like, so after Tuesday, everything felt really doomy and gloomy, and everybody was kind of like, I can't believe how disheartening. Even me, I was so disheartened by how we came out in the first period of game one. I'm like, another great regular season gone to waste. But then after game two, I'm like, well, okay, we win this series in five, and then we beat the Panthers in four. I'm like planning the parade over here. It's all day by day.
Nice. Matthew Nyes made his playoff. He's got some skills.
Yeah.
He's got some skills.
Yeah.
I like what I see there, taking over from Michael Elbows Bunting. But he's got two more games of suspension before he can return to the lineup. I would think that when he's eligible for game four, three game suspension, two, three, four, or for game five, and there will be a game five, I would think Keith puts him right back in the lineup. Eh? He's like, you're not going to be punished. It's not like, okay, kid, you know, Bunting, you're staying, you know, in street clothes and we're going to play Nyes. I mean, you know, Bunting is a good hockey player, right? And I would think that he'll be quite fresh and ready to go when he comes back for game five, advantage Leafs. Game three tomorrow in Tampa, Hockey Night in Canada, the panel, you know, is there a regular panel now? Is this guy Newsy Lalonde, the coach of the Red Wings, is he a regular on the panel now?
He looks like a regular to me.
Is he there for Jennifer Botterill? She's doing the U.S. I don't know what the heck is going on. Everybody's broadcasting hockey now. You notice that, eh? Freaking the Food Channel. Oh, we got the hockey game.
But Hebsy, what do you think of Lalonde?
Everywhere.
What do you think? He gets a lot of airtime, right? He gets some significant airtime
out of nowhere. Like, who is he bumping? I don't know. Oh, by the way, hey coach, come on. He's on. I don't know. He's on. Seems to be on all the time.
Lalonde, what you've seen, you like it so far. I'm just wondering, are you glad it's Lalonde? Because the call could have gone out to Brian Burke.
Oh, God, no.
But you have to admit, that must have been discussed in a Rogers Sports, in a boardroom at Rogers. They must have talked about that.
He left freaking high and dry a few years ago.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm leaving because I'm going to go to Pittsburgh to do nothing.
But they left on good terms as far as public consumption is concerned. Like, there must have been a discussion. Do we bring back Brian Burke to be our Lalonde?
I don't think so. I think the people in charge now are like, the last thing they want is, you know, going back to Brian Burke would be akin to going back to Don Cherry.
Well, no. There was like a red carpet, goodbye, go to Pittsburgh, we love you, farewell ceremony for Brian Burke.
What did you want them to do? What did you expect them to do?
No, I'm asking you.
Best of luck, Brian. And anytime we need you for a job, Mike, and anytime you don't have a job, we'll call you and you can just come back. I hate that shit.
I'm not a Burke guy.
How many different major league managers in baseball did that? They got fired. They went on the desk. They worked for Fox or whatever it was. They did baseball, Joe Torre. And then they get, okay, by the way, we want to take how many? I would like to know how many coaches have been hired directly from the broadcast booth. Do you know that Mike Nikolic, when he took on the job as Leaf coach, you know what his job was before he was the coach of the Leafs?
Hockey Mike commentator. Nikolic. What was he doing? Okay.
Yeah, he was on radio. Yeah. Ron Hewitt and Mike Nikolic. John McGilvery and Mike Nikolic, Maple Leaf hockey. Yeah, Mike Nikolic was a radio commentator for the Leafs. This is before Joe Bowen got there. He was on and it was like, oh, we need a coach.
Well, I was mildly surprised not to see Brian Burke's grumpy face on Tuesday night.
Brian Burke's past his prime.
Okay.
You can't keep coming back. Oh, I went to Pittsburgh, come back. No. You got to move on. You see, here's the thing. If he was that good, and they liked him that much, they would have locked him up to a long-term deal and said, no, you can't go back and be an executive again. How many times is this going to happen? How many times? Anaheim in 2000 and whatever. I think he was an executive with Hartford before that, if I'm not mistaken. So, okay, he wasn't a high executive. But anyway, he was, okay, so Hartford, Anaheim, Toronto,
Vancouver.
Calgary. Was he in Vancouver?
Yeah, well, he brought the Twins in, right?
Pittsburgh, right. No, he got lucky there, okay?
But
Pittsburgh. So, I mean, how many different organizations? And between that, was he at Rogers, Sportsnet, TSN? I don't know, you know, this broadcast, that podcast in Canada. Okay, fine. I'm tired of Brian. Give me somebody else. Give me somebody that's got some spunk, something. I don't know. Okay, Game three tomorrow in Tampa. Game four goes Monday, also in Tampa. So it'd be worth a trip to Tampa. I would think that I think there are going to be a lot of Leaf fans there. And after a while, when I see the colors, because the Tampa colors, the Tampa blue is bluer than Leaf blue, darker blue. But still, when you see those jerseys all together, it's hard to distinguish the Leaf blue. And when everybody's up and cheering and whatever, and go, well, there's a lot of blue here tonight, a lot of Leaf fans. And wait a minute, that's a Tampa. That's one of their third jerseys. It's kind of a Maple Leaf blue.
That's a Chris Kontos jersey.
Chris Kontos. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. Elsewhere in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, if you care, you know, and I'm interested in the other series. The Rangers won both games in New Jersey, like a home game over there, right? Eli Manning's at the game, right? Like, you know, former Giants quarterback, right? So he's there with his kids, and Jackie Redmond is interviewing. And by the way, when Tim and Friends ended, they replaced it with the NHL show from NHL Network. Oh, fuck, is that a bad hockey show? Oh, my God.
But it's a cheaper show, Hebsy.
Oh, my God.
They're already making it.
And who are these guys?
And if I may.
When Bruce Boudreau was on, but it's just they just talk. It's just we can just keep talking as long as we want to talk for.
This NHL production that they're now just going to air in place of Tim and Friends, this is really designed for American hockey fans, right? Am I right? Like, this is designed for... Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of...
Still, it's painful to freaking watch.
A lot of Rangers, when, you know, you think Rogers might want more Oilers, for example, and Leafs. God.
Exactly. So you're watching this going, so we got to watch for 3 hours, you know, them spoon feed this... Not spoon feed, I shouldn't say that at all, but, you know, there's some good information they have, but I'm like, why don't we have... Like, how come we don't have three people, okay? Three, you know, a host... and a former coach and another commentator, and Brian just Burke. Have them sit there, and then, you know, we'll just on chairs, and we'll just talk. How tough could that be?
It's easy
in Canada,
but it costs more money than this.
Anyway,
this is a
so I'm watching economic. I'm watching some of that broadcast. Anyway, so the Rangers win. They win in New Jersey last night, 5-1. And at the end of the game, and this is what happens: if you're losing big, you want to get your pound of flesh. You start a few fights, you know, like Tampa did last night, like the Leafs didn't do game one. Like they, you know, they turtled the Leafs, basically. They're like, oh, okay, you know, you can skate around us. They didn't go after guys or whatever. You know, last night, Tampa were down by 5 goals. Fuck it. Let's start some fights. So that's what the Devils did. Like, you know, they get beat twice at home. You know, a lot of Ranger fans in New Jersey, a lot of Ranger fans. And they don't like each other, these two. So it was good. So we're, you know, they're going to Madison Square Garden. They could go up 3-3 tomorrow. Big Chris Kreider with a couple of power play goals. And watch out for the Rangers. Watch out for the Rangers. So I'm saying in the West, Colorado, even their series with Seattle, coming back from a 2-0 deficit to win 3-2. Game three is tomorrow night in Seattle. And it's the first ever Stanley Cup playoff game in Seattle. Mike. It's going to be wild there.
Woo.
Absolutely wild. I'm looking forward to watching that because that's a great franchise. I love their logo. I love their colors. I love the fact that they're successful, you know, right off the bat. It's great to see.
Yes.
And speaking of which, Vegas, by the way, that series is tied 1-1, Colorado and Seattle. And Vegas, who, look, a couple of years ago, first year in the league, go to the Stanley Cup final. There's a successful franchise too, huh? I'd be envious.
Oh, well, we think about it. We haven't been to a final since 1967.
I know. And we played in the West. We could have made a final 1 year if we could have knocked off L.A. when we were a Western Conference team back in the day.
Right.
A couple of times. Vancouver 1 year. When I think of the traveling that I did, never mind. Like, you know, I followed the team. But when I think of the traveling that I did, just me, and I've never played a game. I'm exhausted thinking about it, Mike.
Right.
Thinking about it. I mean, that was... Okay, Detroit was the first year. Detroit was the first series. That wasn't bad. St. Louis was the second series. Right. The Kings back and forth to L.A. was the third series.
Seven games, all three. Because that was 21
and then
games.
And then the year after that was Vancouver was the semifinal series. What, like
five games, I think. I think we got hammered in that series.
I'm trying to think what how we got there. I think St. Louis in one of the rounds.
Oh, San Jose, wasn't it?
Oh, San Jose. Right.
And that went seven, didn't it?
Oh, my God, that was wild.
Garpenlov hit it off the post.
Crossbar. Oh, my God. Yes, exactly. Okay, so
that sound haunts me to this day. Like, I can hear the sound.
That was a lot of traveling. It was a lot of traveling. A lot of traveling.
Love those teams, Hebsy. Love
those
teams.
Mike, that's 30 years ago. 30 years ago.
But I'm wearing the jersey, Hebsy.
Bob Rouse, Sylvain Lefebvre, Todd Gill.
I bought this jersey because of... Yeah, no, this is the jersey I bought when... this is when Doug Gilmer was the... what do we... I always say assistant, but it's...
Alternate.
I know, I've always said assistant. But when Wendell Clark was the captain and Dougie was the alternate, and I bought this jersey and I wore it for every ball hockey game, I loved that 93-94 era Leafs.
Yeah, people will never forget that because they're, you know, if, certainly when you were in your youth.
Yeah, I was a teenager. It was Leafs, the best.
You know, you could have, look, I'm, you know, kids, 6 and 7 year olds at the time going, stayed up late to watch, that kind of thing. Dougie, I love Dougie.
We were all Felix.
Yeah, it's good. Meanwhile, my cousin lives in Vegas, and like first year when the hockey team announced the hockey team, he got season tickets, really good season tickets for the first year, and they go all the way to the finals, and he's like, oh, this is great, I love hockey, and I'm like, you mother, you know, we haven't been in a final in like 50 some odd years, and your first year, you go to the final, it doesn't work like that every year.
Right.
Meantime, they're playing well again this year, they even their series with Winnipeg, they won 5-2 at home, thanks to, this is a great story, Captain Mark Stone. Okay, this dude misses 3 months with back surgery. It's his second game back. He's the captain. He's the spiritual leader of this team. He scores twice in the third period, had 2 goals and an assist. And Vegas wins 5-2 and evens their series with Winnipeg. Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon. Okay, tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. That's Saturday afternoon in Winnipeg. Okay? Hockey day in Canada. Winnipeg, Vegas. And I bet you they have the whiteout in Winnipeg. I mean, I've been checking because I'm not that interested in Winnipeg, but I hope they have the whiteout. And I really like Rick Bonus. I like him personally. I met him many times. I like a man, and I hope he, because they had some problems near the end there. It was like, oh my God, we might miss the playoffs. What the hell? But they got Connor Hellebuck, who's a hell of a goalie. And I hope they do well. So they're tied 1-1 in that series. Tonight, Carolina up 2-0, travels to Long Island, not Long Island. If you're from there, it's one word, Long Island. The Bruins got hammered 6-3 at home. So people are like, wait a second, Florida. And then Alex Lyon gets the start and they beat them. You know, fantastic. 6-3. So they're in South Florida to play the Panthers. That series is tied 1-1. Same for the Minnesota-Dallas series, which moves to St. Paul, the XL Center for tonight's third game. And in Los Angeles, the Kings host the Oilers for game 3 of that series, all knotted up 1-1. That's a great series, too. It was last year. It went 7 last year. The Oilers were down 3-2. They won game 6 and game 7 to take the series. And, man, just some good hockey. Really good hockey. So I'm watching the Boston-Florida game the other night. and normally, Mike, you know, the broadcasters would be from ESPN or Turner, TNT or TBS or whoever down there has got it. And we don't get those games up here, right? We don't get Turner. We can't get those games because they're blacked out because we get the Canadian broadcast. So on Sportsnet, the Boston, Florida game, instead of it being Jack Edwards and whatever, but he's the local guy, but instead of it being an ESPN guy, whatever, Steve Levy or whoever, it's Sportsnet broadcasters. It's John Cheech Garrett and John Shorthouse. Now, these two guys do Vancouver Canucks games on Sportsnet in the Pacific region. We here in Ontario cannot see those games. Those games are blacked out. We can't see them. So I know of these two guys. I've seen highlight clips of, you know, where you hear, you know, Shorthouse score, you know, and Cheech Garrett, who I've known for years, you know, says, oh, that was a great play by so-and-so. So I've heard clips, but I've never heard them do like a full game. And I'm listening to them do Boston, Florida. And I'm going, these guys are great. Like, wow, do they sound good. Oh, my God. Canucks fans must. Oh, God. And I'm thinking, I wish that we had two announcers that do all the games. The same two announcers. Like they do in Vancouver. Because we don't. We get Chris Cuthbert and Craig Simpson. Or we get Gord Miller and Mike Johnson. Am I right here, Mike? Pretty much, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And these guys in Vancouver, they get Shorthouse and Cheech Garrett all the time. Every game that's done, unless it's a TSN national game, I don't know. But for the most part, I'm thinking that people who have that watch Vancouver Canucks games on television, this is pretty much what they're getting. They get just about every game is their two guys, like Joe Bowen used to, like it was all Joe Bowen did all the Leaf games, right? And then not. So I'm envious. So I tweet this out. I'm so impressed with the duo of Shorthouse and Garrett in the Boston, Florida series on Sportsnet. Canucks fans don't know how good they have it. That's it, right? That's it. And I tag, you know, Canucks with the hashtag Canucks. Oh my God. I'm meaning this as a compliment. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm, you know, it's sort of like you guys are lucky. You don't know how good you've got it. And they're, and these people are tweeting back. Basically, they're looking at it going, who does this guy think he is from Toronto? So the comments I'm getting are basically like, fuck off, you Toronto prick. We know how good we've got it with Shorty and Cheech. How dare you tell us how good we've got it, you fucking Toronto piece of shit. I'm reading some of these. Meanwhile, I'm getting all these likes from people going, yeah, we like Shorthouse, and maybe they're hearing them for the first time as well. Maybe they're from parts of the world where they had never heard John Shorthouse and John Garrett do broadcast a game. It's totally possible that many people have not heard them do a game. I was one. And again, I knew John Shorthouse before he did Canucks games on radio. He worked for UTV in Vancouver, right? Cheech Garrett, I've known since I watched him play for the freaking Peterborough Petes when I was a kid.
Right.
And interviewed him and worked with him when I did global games. And John Garrett, you know, was doing Hockey Night in Canada, but he did a lot of global games, midweek games. I was part of that. I know who these guys are, but I had never heard them do a full game. And I'm just tweeting out how lucky you guys, you know.
I have a theory. You want to hear my theory?
These people are just laying into me, Mike.
Okay, possibly it's because John Garrett made an announcement recently that he's actually done. He's retired from doing Canucks regional games. So maybe hearing the Toronto guy talk about this great team that Vancouver has, knowing that this team is done, that team's broken up. They're done. John Garrett's done with Canucks regional games. He's retired from that. Maybe that they seem like it's a bit of a like salt in the wound, maybe.
Huh? No, it's just commenting on how great they are. Switching. Okay, but people, I see what you mean. Like, should have said how good they had it.
Or
had
just
it,
that past to say like, hey, this is a great team you have. Oh, sorry, I guess you don't have them anymore. Sucks to be you.
I didn't say that at all.
I know, but they're going to read that into you
but
because
I didn't
you're
say that at all.
Toronto
that wasn't the tone at all. The tone was, you guys don't know how good you have it. It's a compliment. It's like, you guys don't know, man, you guys, you're from Toronto. Oh, you guys don't know how good you've got it. The restaurants, the vibe, the whatever.
Right.
And I go, well, yeah, we kind of do. Or, you know, well, thanks for the compliment. But no, right. It's like, fuck you. Get out of my town.
There's a lot of assholes online.
Don't you tell me how I should feel. Like, I'm just complimenting. I'm just like, you guys are lucky that you've got, you know, the same two broadcasters to do it.
But they're not lucky because they're done. So,
okay.
But Andrew Ward, I got to read this from your YouTube channel. People really should come here live.
Vancouver, relax, you fan. Fuck you, Toronto. You know, I remember hearing this from Steve Armitage once in a lounge on the Air Canada, where he's going, you Toronto guys getting everything. The Leafs can't, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just listening to this whining. I'm going, does everybody from Vancouver like this? I'm realizing that all these people, we want to watch the Canucks. We don't care about the shitty Leafs all those years. We don't care about, and if you're from Toronto, you're a Leaf. And fuck you, all those years that we had to watch Leafs and Leafs and Leafs, and we had our Canucks. And the lead story was always Leafs and Leafs and Leafs. And everybody in Toronto sucks. Years of that.
Right.
Come on, man.
And again, Canucks have never won a Stanley Cup, just putting it out there. But Andrew Ward, and we've won 11, by the way. Okay. Was Garrett...
Oh, no. Hang on. Before you get to Andrew Ward. And by the way, okay, we're okay with you cheering for the Toronto Blue Jays. You see, we're not like, fuck you, Vancouver. Go get your own fucking team. Right? You know, and we got the Raptors, and you guys had a team and don't. So, and you guys lost to the Bruins and rioted. So don't take it out on every person from Toronto. Why don't you look inward at yourselves?
Look in the mirror. Go enjoy your ocean and mountains. Leave us alone.
I love Vancouver. I love the people of Vancouver. I have lots of friends there in the media. I do. And if I had a chance to, I would have shouted out for all my friends in the media, people who I think are really good and talented. I just so happen to mention John Shorthouse and John Garrett, and holy cow. All
right. You struck a nerve. But Andrew Ward does have a nice question,
yes,
I promise.
Yes, Andrew.
Was Garrett nicknamed Cheech only because of his porno mustache and curly hair, or was it because he's 420 friendly?
No. He was called Cheech before anybody knew what 420 was. He looked like Cheech Marin. If you go back to the early 70s, let's say 73, okay? and you look at pictures of John Garrett, right? 73, 74, 75, right there, and Cheech Marin and Cheech and Chong, who are, you know, I mean, the stoners of all stoners. Hey, man, Big Bamboo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, John Garrett looked like Cheech Marin. He had the same mustache. Yeah. The hair was kind of curly and pushed on, kind of a thing like that. And it stuck. It's a great nickname.
Remember,
great
Tommy nickname. Chong's Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
I just pointed out.
Okay, so there you go, Cheech. Listen, the dude's from Trenton. He played for the Petes. I saw him in the WHA. Played for the freaking Birmingham. Was one of the baby bulls.
So why is he retiring? Here. He's still got game. Is it because he's got another gig or something? He says he's only retiring from regional broadcasts.
Why did Jerry Howarth retire? Why did Jim Houston retire? Why did... retire.
Although Jim did retire, apparently.
I don't know. I don't know. Was he pushed? Was he, you want to have an in thing?
More reason to be pissed at you for praising him, that they can't even afford to keep their great duo there in Vancouver. Like, how much must it suck to be a Canucks fan?
I don't know. All I know is Rogers are a bunch of cheapskates. We know that. Okay. So anyway. NBA playoffs are in full swing. So this is the other network now, because TSN covers the NBA playoffs, right? Sportsnet's got all the hockey, $5.2 billion, right?
Right.
Let's hope the Leafs get through one round. God, we'll make our money.
But they share it, right? They share it, right, Hebsy? Sportsnet gets NBA playoff games, too.
They do?
Yeah. I think that, I don't
when
think
could they possibly run NBA playoff games? It's all hockey.
Okay, I think I've watched some NBA playoff on Sportsnet this year. I feel like they share it.
Mike, I'll Google it. Sportsnet's got the Jays and hockey.
But that's true.
I don't think they have room for
I think NBA. They share it with...
I think all the NBA's got... I think they share Raptors. I don't know if they share the... Anyway, I'm not used to tuning into Sportsnet for basketball now that the Raptors are out.
You talk about TSN. The NBA, and I'll dig this up, but I'm sure I've seen a Sportsnet.
Just pay attention to this show. Regardless,
I got lots going on.
If you
want
to watch the NBA playoffs, you'll find them.
I can multitask. It's okay.
You'll find them. Anyway, they're in full swing on whatever your network of preference is. Even though he tried to kick his opponent in the cojones, Joel Embiid of Philadelphia was not ejected from last night's win over Brooklyn. If you see the video of this, you saw the video the other night of Draymond Green stomping Danny Sabonis of Sacramento, like stomping on his chest. Okay, the word stomping is correct. He didn't give him a foot massage. He stomped him, and he got a one-game suspension. He got kicked out of the game in a one-game suspension. And then last night, here's Nick Claxton dunking over Embiid, Nick Claxton of Brooklyn, dunking over Embiid. And then now Embiid's on the ground. He's lying on the floor after being dunked on. And then there's this, he Claxton goes to step over him. Now that is a sign, that's taunting, and that's, it's a close one. You're in the heat of a game. It could be interpreted a certain way, but Embiid was down and you have to take a step somewhere. If there happens to be a body in front of you, what are you going to do? He was either going to step on his chest or he was going to step over him, right? He really wasn't in a position, Claxton, after dunking, that he was going to go backwards to avoid stepping over Embiid. Anyway, as he steps over him, Embiid kicks out with his size 20 and just misses kicking him in the balls. He kicks right out at him and just missed. And everyone is like, whoa, how is that not an ejection? How is that not an ejection? Especially after what happened like a couple nights earlier with Draymond Green. How did he get away with it, MVP candidate? How did he get away with that is beyond anyone. And so he was given a flagrant one and remained in the game. And what does he do? He blocks the potential game-tying layup in the final 10 seconds. Because he's still playing, he should have been kicked out. And the weird part is his teammate, James Harden of Philly, he gets kicked out of the game, misses the whole fourth quarter on a very questionable flagrant two for throwing an elbow. That you're looking at going, that's, how is that a flagrant two and an ejection? And what Embiid did was a flagrant one. It was just, and again, it throws into question the officiating. And the first thing I thought of course, is, all right, that official, is his brother-in-law, the guy who testified against so-and-so in a case from his next-door neighbor? Is there a conflict of interest?
Can I ask you about that?
Every time the official makes a bad call in any sport, now there's a conspiracy theory. Do these two know each other? Do they have history? What's this team's record when this guy's officiating? Now we get into all this, and all this information's available. You just got to dig it up. You just got to dig it up. Like, what was Wes McCauley's record?
Nick Nurse fired.
Record when Wes McCauley was officiating. Like, all this stuff.
I want to ask you about that, but I just want to break news on your show because you are live on YouTube that Nick Nurse no longer head coach of the Toronto Raptors. That happened right now.
Big surprise.
Not a big surprise, but still newsworthy.
So he resigned or what happened?
More details to come, but while
what
I
do
did,
you mean more details? What does it say?
Well, the Woj bomb is just that he's out as Raptors coach. Sources tell ESPN. So I need
not
to find
renewing
out.
His contract, and he's a free agent, and he can go do what he wants to do.
So fired, resigned. I will find out, but no longer head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Quickly, Hebsy, I have to ask you this. I should have asked it during the Leaf segment. Mm-hmm. I want to get back. By the way, I have confirmed there are a number of NBA playoff games on Sportsnet, so they seem to share the NBA playoffs with TSN.
All right.
For my research here. Okay. And I thought, I'm sure I've seen one this season already. So that's why.
Well, I'm sure too, but I'm
you don't think of it because the Jays and.
No, I'm thinking of, man, between, I mean, you've got the Jays and you've got your hockey commitment. I'm just, you know, so, I'm sure there are some gaps there where there's no Jays, there's no hockey. And it's like you know,
if you want to see, and I'm sure you do, you'll watch the Nets versus 76ers game 4. And when you're looking for that, you're going to be watching it on Sportsnet at 1 p.m. tomorrow. So they've got that. And they got Phoenix and Los Angeles. So they have the Clippers and Suns, too.
My mistake. Okay. I'm just more used to watching hockey and the Jays. No, first of all, the Jays are going to be on Sportsnet 1 anytime there's hockey on.
Right.
Hockey takes over all this.
Okay, so before, because I do like the guttural reaction to the Nick Nurse.
That's it for the show. Thanks for joining us.
The Nick Nurse news just dropped on us, and I'm curious for your take. But I have to go back really, really quickly, because I promised my buddy Cooksey I'd ask you about this. We all know the Leafs deserve to lose game one. It doesn't matter who's refereeing. The Leafs sucked. They should have lost game one. So this is not about anything to do with the Leafs losing game one. But the optics of having Wes McCauley referee a Leafs game in the playoffs when Wes McCauley's sister is married to David Frost, who is Sheldon Keefe's abuser. The optics are bad. I don't understand why the NHL would assign Wes McCauley to a Leafs playoff game, considering that.
Well, that's a stretch. That's a huge
stretch. No, the optics, you don't think the optics are bad.
You're kidding me, right?
I'm not saying Wes
is brother-in-law.
Well, he's also friends with David Frost, who is his brother-in-law.
Listen to me, Mike. If your next-door neighbor, who you're very, very good friends with and have been for 20 years, mm-hmm. okay, is officiating a game that your son's playing in and it happens to be in the Stanley Cup final. And somebody says, wait a second.
Yeah.
How can the next door neighbor of the kid who plays center for rugby be officiating against a conflict? Is that a conflict of interest?
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, because you saw him grow up. He's like a surrogate son or whatever.
So every time an official in any sport, umpire, whatever the case was, you had to do a background check on that umpire to ensure that there was no personal. Hang on, let me finish. There's no personal or business connection, right, with the official and anybody involved in the game. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm telling you specifically. I'm telling you, you've got a number of referees who can referee the Leafs game. Wes McCauley's sister being married to David Frost with the situation with Sheldon Keefe. That's enough for any professional league to say, we'll assign you to the Rangers game instead. No. We'll let someone else be the referee.
Not at all.
Okay, my two cents is that.
Big stretch. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Why don't you take Wes McCauley into consideration? Why don't you take this man into consideration as a man? Forget about anything else.
Right.
You honestly think that Wes McCauley is going to change the way he thinks about a call because of.
Oh, I didn't say that. I'm talking about the optics.
What are you saying?
I'm saying the optics are bad.
Well, who gives a fuck about the optics?
But optics are often everything.
Hey, you know who this is?
It's like if it appears to be a conflict of interest, that matters as much as the fact that there's a conflict of interest.
Like I said, is if the official happened to be good friends with the next door neighbor, a guy knew him since he was a kid.
Okay. I think, and he wasn't the ref for game two, so maybe they listened to me, but I think the you don't have Wes McCauley referee a Maple Leaf playoff
Mike,
game considering
Mike,
this.
Mike.
Yeah. Well, Sheldon Keefe is the coach.
Mike, why didn't you bring this up the first time Wes McCauley?
Oh, I didn't know. I only learned this after game one. I had no idea.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And did we go back and look at the tape of every single game that Wes McCauley?
Yeah, but you're missing the point. It's not about.
Tell me what the point is.
I am not suggesting Wes McCauley is changing calls based on the fact he testified on Dave. No.
You are. That's exactly what you are. You're talking about the optics of You believe that Wes McCauley should not be officiating games that Sheldon Keefe is coaching. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Because of the optics.
Right.
Okay. Thanks for that. Okay.
Because he testified on behalf of David Frost.
I disagree.
I know we disagree, but it's fun to disagree once in a while. I think it's a no-brainer to not assign Wes McCauley to the Leafs playoff games. I think the optics are bad enough to just assign a different referee and assign Wes McCauley to a different game.
No, no, you're 100% wrong. And you'd be capitulating to these fucking conspiracy theorists.
And as Kevin, a lot of people point out, it's actually kind of cruel to Sheldon Keefe to do that.
I'm
going to
tell you this right now, okay? Don't come at me with optics.
What do you mean?
We're talking about sports where active athletes are telling you to bet on the game that they're playing in that they might not be on the up and up. Don't throw an official now into this thing and suggest to me that the optics look bad when the real optics that look bad are the Connor McDavids and whatever saying, oh, I'm trying to make a bet on the game tonight. You know, that to me, I don't like those optics. Okay. That to me is a conflict of interest. That's a conflict. You're taking money from this thing. You're saying, yeah, I'm coming back.
Yeah, but that's a whole separate discussion. Come back. Right?
Yeah.
That's another discussion.
But if you're going to bring something up, just make sure that your magazine is full with more ammunition than this.
But Hebsy,
this particular one. No, but
if you have anyone in your life who's not
wasting time, Mike, you're done. You've
well, it is Hebsy on sports, so we'll move on.
I've made my point. We're going to move on.
All right.
So just get down off your social justice platform.
Oh, that's not social justice.
Let me move on.
Okay, not social justice.
Okay. Let's talk about sports here, not your, you know, fucking, you know, single bullet theory or whatever. Optics. There are lots of bad options.
It's not a conspiracy.
You can't just pick and choose. You can't just pick and choose. You'd have to go back over every single game that was played and look at the possible lack of integrity from an official.
Irrelevant.
The possibility. And you'd have to go into the background and see, were there any court cases? Was there any ever charges done? What type of relationship did this official have with that person? Right? And you never brought this up for how many years?
I only learned about this Wednesday morning with Cooksey telling me everything. I had no idea.
Lovely.
I think you've lost it, Hibsy. Let's go on. I think you've lost it.
Before we lose every single listener here at this thing with this ridiculous thing, I want to get into important stuff, okay? Like the tweeting of Anthony Bass. That's important stuff. Okay, so Phil, where were we?
Yeah, let's talk about sports. Let's talk about Bass and his tweet.
No, hang on. Philadelphia up in that NBA series 3-0. The Warriors stormed back to beat the Kings 114-97. Steph Curry led the way with 36 points for the Draymond Greenless Warriors because he stomped on the guy's chest. That series now 2-1 in favor of Sacramento. And Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night. Load management? No, he just had his sprained right knee. Didn't play, and the Clippers lost 129-124 to Phoenix, who are now up 2-1 on that series. Devin Booker, 45 points. KD, 26 points. Tonight, the Celtics up 2-0 on the Hawks, travel to Atlanta for game 3. The Knicks and Cleveland tied 1-1 with game 3 tonight in Cleveland. And the Denver Nuggets up 2-0 are in Minnesota tonight to play the T-Wolves. Bucks and Heat go tomorrow in Miami. That series is 1-1. Memphis travels to LA to play LeBron and the Lakers tomorrow. That series also 1-1. Baseball now. The Blue Jays begin a series with the Yankees tonight in the Bronx. The other night in Houston, they had the bases loaded and nobody out, trailing 2-1 in the eighth inning. And coming up with the bases loaded and nobody out, George Springer, Bo Bichette, and Vladdy Guerrero. Baby, that's a win. Not exactly. Springer lined out to third. Bo struck out and Vladdy flied to center. The Jays got nothing. Then in the bottom of the eighth, the Astros scored 6 times and beat the Jays 8-1. So they had a day off yesterday to think about their performance. And what a great performance by Jose Berríos. And it is Berríos because I've been listening to Dan Schulman say his name and I've got it, Mike. It's Berríos.
Okay.
It's Berríos.
Because Wilner says it differently.
It's Berríos. Okay. It's Berríos. It's Berríos. It's Jose Berríos. He was given up for dead a few weeks ago, right? We were ready to like cart this guy out of town. He goes 7 strong innings, leaves the game trailing 2-0. And then you had the heart of the order up there with the Sox drunk and you couldn't push tying run across. You really can't afford to lose games like that if you're the Blue Jays. I know it's a long season. I know. But you're 5 back of the Rays. You're in 4th place in the East. You know, you had your chance with your big boppers coming up. They didn't come through. You can't have that happen too often. Tonight, the Yankees. We got the Yankees in the Bronx. And Yusei Kikuchi, 2-0, goes up against Domingo Germán of the Bronx Bombers. 7:05, first pitch on one of the Sportsnet channels because there's hockey on, I think, tonight. I know that MASH is on at 7 and 7:30 on TLN. That's what I know. Tomorrow afternoon at Yankee Stadium, Alec Manoah against Garrett Cole. They're going to meet by the Audi sign before the game and duke it out, and then they'll go to the mound together. That should be a good one. It's, you know what, Mike? It's been a while since I've looked forward to a pitching matchup. Remember back in the day, you go, ooh, look at that pitching matchup. Steve against Morris. It's a big one. You know, Madison Bumgarner again. By the way, he got released. Madison Bumgarner. All these. Now, Garrett Cole against Alec Manoah. That's a good one. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow afternoon. And Sunday, Kevin Gausman against Clark Schmidt, who has an ERA of over 8. So we got a chance there in the Bronx. Max Scherzer of the Mets has been suspended for 10 games for using a foreign substance that contravenes the rules of baseball. He was told by the umpires after the, I think the second inning, wash your hands. You got that sticky rosin on your hand. You can't have that. So go wash. So, okay. He supposedly goes and washes his hands. They check him again after the third inning. Hey, we told you. Oh, the sweat, this, if it happens again. So they warned him like twice. And then after the fourth inning, he comes off and like they, and they throw him out of the game. And his reaction was great. It was like he's stomping up and down like a kid. Like, you can't throw me out of the game. They tossed him and he got suspended for 10 games. Good. Anthony Bass. I don't even know he made the team this year. I couldn't tell. He's a mop-up guy. But this dude caused such a firestorm that I'm thinking, who are the worst Blue Jays ever? Who are the most hated, despised Blue Jays, like, of all time? Right? Mike, think about it.
Who put the homophobic slur under their eye? Who did that?
Yeah. There you go. Yunel Escobar.
Right.
So, I mean, think about guys that as soon as you found out they had done something, you were like, oh, get rid of this guy. Like, we never did this with, like, Roberto Alomar. Although he wasn't a Blue Jay when he spit on John Hirschbeck, was he?
No, he was a
But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
But we never did that with, like, a really great player. But as soon as a guy wasn't playing so well, and then he did something stupid,
right?
Or just, you know, ignorant, whatever, it was like, okay, get rid of this guy. And so, yeah, Yunel Escobar. Roberto Osuna, to me, is
for sure
the most hated, right? And you're talking about he was our top reliever, but...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking also Brett Laurie in his final few days was a jerk, right? There was one play where he yelled at one of his teammates for not tagging up on a fly ball. He didn't get credit for a sack fly and he threw his helmet. Remember he threw his helmet and bounced up and hit the umpire. You know, he just had a couple of temper tantrums and it was like, okay, we can't wait to get rid of this guy. Right.
Right.
And my favorite was Jan Hervis Solarte, who just would never run out of ground ball to first base ever. And he was awful. But to me, what Anthony Bass did, even though it wasn't evil or, you know, worthy of indictment or anything like that and break any laws, it's just, you're a professional baseball player and you're not even on this flight. And your wife, who's pregnant, 22 weeks pregnant, okay, I flew with my wife. She was in her 9th month, okay?
Eek.
And allegedly was told to get down on her hands and knees and pick up the popcorn herself, according to Anthony Bass. So it's like, okay. So you made your wife fly commercial with 2 little kids, and she's pregnant with your 3rd kid, while you took the team charter, okay, and drank champagne and had caviar and whatever on the team charter back to Toronto. And you said to your wife from wherever, okay, honey, get on this United flight with the 2 kids, and you're pregnant, and okay. The flight attendant gives them some popcorn. The infant spills popcorn. Somebody takes a picture of the popcorn under the seat with the 2 kids. It's probably the wife, right? Anthony Bass's wife. And then he tweets it out and he tags United Airlines. Hey, you didn't have to do that, man. You didn't have to do that. Okay. And then in the tag, it says, told my 22 week pregnant wife to get down on her hands and knees and clean it up. Now, where's the second source for this? Because in all honesty, I do not believe you could be having the worst day ever. This woman could be treating you like crap, like shit. You could just want to strangle her. Did you tell her to get down on her hands and knees in front of the other one was in front of the entire flight? Because this is the way it sounds, like humiliated my wife in front of the entire flight. I don't think so. At seats 6D and E and F, maybe. Maybe a few people around there, but the entire flight? So to me, it was, you know, you're grandstanding here, Anthony. You're trying to make it seem as if this one flight attendant at United Airlines made your wife and children so miserable and humiliated them so badly and embarrassed them so much that you had to take to Twitter with your however many thousands, 100,000 followers and lay this story out here. And generally speaking, most of the comments were, come on. Like, really, Anthony? This is what you're, you know, you're a million-dollar baseball player and you're going to lay this trip on all of us and come on. And then there are other people saying, you know, God damn it, you know, like, you know, you shouldn't have to be. This is what the cleaning crews are for. Just, you know, so as far as I'm concerned, Anthony Bastian, just like, get out of here. You know, you should have never done this. It's a shitty thing for you to do. It's not a professional thing to do. Why would you do that? You sound like a whiny, entitled athlete. And you weren't even on the plane. You weren't even there.
Yeah, I would love to know I like to interview the stewardess. Sorry, I don't even know what the proper nomenclature is.
Mike, it's flight attendant.
Yes, I know. I was actually
a stewardess.
Brian Gerstein called her a stewardess, and I read it at the same time. Of course, it's a flight attendant. You're right. It's not the 60s anymore. But I'd like to speak to her about what went down there. But yeah, this whole story, my goodness gracious, this is why we come to Hebsy on Sports for these hard hitting sports stories.
So as far as I'm concerned, Bass is on the no fly list or the whatever list. He's like
the
one of those.
List.
He's just joined the aforementioned villains.
Right.
These are villains.
Right. Is Kelly Gruber on that list now?
Kelly, that would have been after. See, that was after the fact. That was after he played. It's not the same.
But that's what Alomar too. Alomar was after he played too.
Yeah, it was after he played. I'm talking about while you're wearing a Blue Jay uniform and you're representing the Blue Jays and Toronto and Canada. You're representing Toronto and Canada. You're Anthony Bass of the Toronto Blue
Jays.
Did
Alex Rios yell something outside of the museum or something?
Yeah, somebody caught him. Somebody caught him or something. Yeah, I guess. I guess he'd be in the top 10 maybe if you were to do a list of 10. I think I gave you the five good ones there, but there's probably some.
This is a fun game. 10 most disgraced active Toronto professional athletes.
Well, not disgraced. To me, it was this. Once they did this, did you want to get rid of them? Like how fast before it was like, get this guy off the team? Like as soon as we found this out about Osuna, like get him out of here, right? He's
yeah, that was the easy one.
He's poisoning the team. Escobar, as soon as we found out that the eye black and the homophobic statement, we get rid of him. We don't care how good he's
playing.
But
if I may, when Pillar used the F slur, he owned it right away and apologized and took because he owned it and owned up to it, took accountability and worked on himself. We forgave him away.
And he was sincere.
Right.
You're right. Anthony Bass should have sent an apology. Instead, he kept tweeting out, right on, and other people who were agreeing with him saying, and retweeting their agreement saying, you know, this broadcaster, right on, like hit the nail on the head. No, man, you're making it worse. Every time Anthony Bass tweets now, he's just asking for more trouble.
Do you remember when the great Morgan Riley was caught on video? People thought he was using the F slur, but in fact, he was saying, rag it. Do you remember this?
I do, but again, you know,
he was like saying ragged. Film.
You're trying to find something. You're trying to find something so you can expose somebody for, you know, what you and I might do. And, you know, anyway, so people are calling for Bass. It's like, you know, demote this guy to Buffalo and bring up Nate Pearson. That's really good. Bring up Nate Pearson. So, you know, this Nate Pearson fetish that people have, like they're looking at stats going, he struck out 15 batters in 7 innings. He did so well in the Dominican League. He's got blah, blah, blah. Bring him up. Wow. I'm like, man, stop it with this. I've watched every game. I've watched all the Buffalo games. Okay. If I can't watch them all, look at the highlights. And yeah, Nate Pearson struck out 15 batters in 7 innings. But folks, I have to do a deep dive here to explain a few things to you about Nate Pearson. He's never entered a game with the team in the lead. He has no saves. He's pitched 7.1 innings. He's given up 4 hits and 4 walks. And he struck out 15. But every game he enters, they're either losing or they're tied, and it's not the ninth inning. All right? Every game he comes into a game, he's losing 6-0. He's losing 6-3. He's losing 8-1.
Mop-up guy.
Okay? Those are the last three games.
He could have mopped up that popcorn on the flight, maybe.
Yeah. There you go. Right. They played a doubleheader yesterday. He didn't pitch in either game because he had pitched an inning the night before. Pitched the ninth inning. They were losing 6-0. So he hasn't come into any high leverage situations at all. So to me, if the Jays are going to bring him up, it's going to be as a mop up guy.
Right.
It's going to be a more than one inning guy. We need you out there because we're getting our ass kicked. Or you know, here, get some work. We're up by 6 runs. That type of a thing.
You're so right. But I just have to share this because we're talking about disgraced Jays or whatever. Reese McGuire took it out in the park.
Reese McGuire.
But Steve mentioned that.
Did, Did we want to get rid of him because of that?
No, but it did sour your vision of the great Reese McGuire.
But again, it was like, all right, we got to trade. We got to get rid of this guy now because he's bringing the organization down. Maybe at the time a bit, the Dollar Tree parking lot. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, thanks. There you go, folks. Come up with your own list.
Thank you, Steve.
10 most disgraced players. But they had to be playing for the Jays at the time.
Right.
Okay, good. By the way, I get these emails. Every Jays home game is a celebration or a giveaway or a theme. Every home game this year, there's a theme. Some kind of a theme, right? There's some other reason to come to the game.
Right.
And you've also got six or eight new bars now where it's just come on and drink.
Right.
Do you know that all the $20 seats are sold out for the rest of the season, Mike?
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Every game. You cannot buy a $20 general admission seat. Wow. Now, that $20 admission does not guarantee you a seat anywhere.
Right.
You can walk around, standing room. It's all about standing room. That's, you know, they sell tons of those seats. If you get there early, you can sit, you know, above the bullpen and sit there.
Right.
On those bleacher type seats, but there are no reserved seats, right? These $20 seats are like, hey, there you go.
Get you in
so
the
they're
building.
All sold out. Yeah. They're all sold out, man. And now it's like another bar. Here's Dan Schulman and another bar. And even when they're on the road, like they were in Houston, they're showing video from the games where they were playing in Toronto. Look at the view from the bar. Like just let's get everybody drunk, right? And just see what happens. Come on for the party. And so there's one of them. I guess it's on one of the loony dog nights or whatever. Joey Chestnut, okay, the world hot dog eating champion, is like coming to Toronto for an appearance. And so Gene Velitis chimes in, wait a second, who's paying for Joey Chestnut's appearance? Like, is it Schneider's or is it the Blue Jays? Because if it's the Blue Jays, like why wouldn't they save that money and send Ben Wagner on the road?
It's Schneider's.
Because Joey Chestnut's appearance money, it's got to be some dough there. Like, you know, it's like, even if it's 20 grand or something, like 20 grand, you could send Ben Wagner on like some road trips, man. Come on. I'm thinking of everybody that's got to sit home, that's covering Toronto sports, that can't go to the games.
Right.
Rogers, you know, Cheech Garrett. Hey, Cheech, it's been great knowing you, but, you know, sorry, we're going to have to break you up. You're making too much money. Or we got, you know, we can't afford you or stuff.
We'll do a GoFundMe to send
Joey Chestnut coming.
A GoFundMe to send Wagner on the road.
It all comes, right? It all,
right.
Like when they spent that, what was it, $5.2 billion?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
So when they spent that, did they say, and by the way, I understand from insiders that that deal is heavily backloaded. Rogers didn't have to pay nearly as much up front of that $5.2 billion as they do on the back end. And so how many years are we into that contract, Mike? 8 or 9?
Something like that.
12-year deal?
Yeah.
Okay, so now is when the real money, now is when they got to have the Leafs. They got to have revenue. So the reason all this is happening, a good reason is it, according to, you know, people, somebody I know inside, that's saying, look, you've got to show on your books over the 12-year period that you were, your fiduciary responsibilities or whatever were such that you, because we got to pay, you know, X billion over the last 3-4 years of the contract. That's how they looked at it. They would have momentum. And then in the final years of the contract, they will have built up enough capital from the Leafs getting into the second round or whatever it was. But instead, no. Now they're going, look, if we keep Ben Wagner off the road, we keep Joe Bullen off the road, we keep Jim Ralph off the road, we drop this, we do that, we get rid of Cheech, we get other people, you know, we get Jim Houston to retire. Yeah, all of it, whatever. Over, remember, we're talking over a 12-year period, Mike.
Right.
Or any expert will tell you, okay, that's long-term projection for a business and also an investment, $5.2 billion.
This is why when
so
you ask-
the last three or four years, which we're into now,
that's
when Rogers has to pay- big, large dollars.
Well, I was texting with Jeff Merrick the other day, and I just said, go Leafs go as a closer, whatever. And he's like, as a Rogers employee, he said, it's go Jets go Leafs go Oilers go.
For sure. You got to have some content, but for sure, Leafs are going to drive more. Again, so that's what I understand. So there you go.
Amazing.
That's where, by the way, did you know, Mike, that if you, and I'm not, this is not an endorsement for MGM. I think it's MGM Bet. If you, bet $10, like $10 of your real money, of actual real money, your dollars, with MGM Bet, and they're going to give you $200 in betting money. But if you spend $10 of like your own money with MGM Bet. Make a bet. You get a free one-year subscription to The Athletic.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm still paying $60 a year.
Why are you doing
but
that?
All you got to do as part of this, it's like, you know, something. Value added. What's the value added? Oh, man, I don't know. I'm on Bet365. I'm on this bet. I'm on that bet. I'm on DraftKings. I'm on Blum. I'm on Cabby's back. Cabby the big board are back. Oh. Sportsnet bets. I'm this. I'm here. I'm there. I'm whatever. MGM bet. What? Why would I want to go there? Well, you get $200 in betting money. I can get that anywhere. Oh, but make a $10 bet. Free subscription to The Athletic. Ooh, I'm in.
Yeah, it saves you a bunch of money. It's a no-brainer.
Ooh, I'm in.
Okay.
And I'm still paying $60 a year. I can't get out of that deal.
So how come you can't just...
I'll make a $10 bet with the MGM bet to get a free subscription to The Athletic.
You're the only one paying $60 a year. I hope you know that. Everybody's paying like $1 a month or something for that.
Stop reminding me. Okay, so Tim McAuliffe, Tim and Friends, no longer. They replace it with this NHL network show, this plug-in show from the States with Jackie Redmond, who used to be on The Score. And I don't know who this other... EJ Raddick. And they had Bruce Boudreau on the other day. They'll get other special guests on. They'll talk to people. And what a fucking shit show this is. Fucking hockey for dum-dums or people from New York.
Right.
Oh, my God. And if you're used to watching good, you know, interesting hockey talk or whatever, especially, you know, Canadian. Oh, my God. This is like, let's just talk for a couple of hours and just blah, 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 blah. Three people talking hockey from the States.
But Jackie Redmond back on Sportsnet.
Passaic, New Jersey. Yeah, it's Jackie back on sports. And I'm watching this like, really bad, like just shit. And this is what they replaced him. And now Tim's doing Sportsnet Central. He's on with Ken Reed last night. He's doing a highlight show. And you got people going, oh, Mike in Boston, oh, 90s style, 20th century highlight show. Hey,
pre-internet,
not everybody goes to Twitter or whatever and gets their highlights on the fly. Some people like to watch, you know, a packaged highlight show. Some people like to sit down, whatever it is, in front of their
someone must be watching
and watch,
right?
And watch 15 minutes of a highlight wrap up and some entertaining voiceover and some
yes,
personality
guy.
Some maybe a little personality. No, this is a 20th century style highlight show. Let's go forward. Let's move forward. Why is Tim doing it? Hey, got news for you. I watched him. It's good. I'm getting my information. I'm getting some personality. There you go.
Well, someone must be watching, right, Hepsi?
Tim's a good broadcast.
Not me, but you're watching for both of us, so I appreciate that.
And before we go, one of my favorite comedians is Bill Burr. Yeah. He's Boston, and he loves hockey, and I listen to his podcast on Monday morning. He's really good.
Yeah.
And he's right into hockey. And there was a picture of him a couple of weeks ago when the Leafs were in Ottawa. He was playing in Ottawa, I guess, and he's there up on the big screen. He's there, you know, watching the game and enjoying it. Anyway, the other night after the Leafs loss, I guess it was during the Leafs loss, he tweets out, fucking Leafs. That's all. That was the tweet. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's a Bruins fan, but he just loves hockey. And on his podcast, he's always giving it to Leaf fans. Ah, oh, fucking Toronto and up there and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's really good at it because he makes fun of everybody and he makes fun of Canadians and hockey and too, but he really enjoys making fun of Leaf fans and Toronto and, you know, especially Leafs and their futility. And, you know, rubs in the fact that the Bruins and that kind of thing. So sort of an ongoing thing. So he just tweeted out fucking Leafs. And I just thought that's just so perfect. So apropos, you know, comedian, like all of us, we're thinking the exact same thing. Fucking Leafs. Right?
Go Leafs, go.
Leave it to Bill Burr. That's it for episode 303 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production. And
330.
Hit him up at, 330. Oh my God, I'm dyslexic.
Come on, thanks. You just robbed yourself out of 27 weeks.
I'm dyslexic. It's episode 330 of Hebsy on Sports, or Sports on Hebsy. Thanks to Mike Toronto for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Vancouver Mike and listen to his excellent podcast. Listen, any of you listening from the West Coast there, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Just because I'm from Toronto doesn't make me a bad guy, so lay off with that stuff. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another episode of Hebsy on Sports next week. Until then, so long for now.